Well, I've enjoyed our Super Sundays. I've enjoyed having people getting up and share their story. It was great to find out a bit more about Astrid and Chris and their journey. Although, truth be told, I had a little bit of an inkling of some of that journey because we've been and had coffee at their place. Met the dog, gorgeous dog, really nice dog. As you can tell, I'm a guide man, a dog man. A guide man too, I hope, but a dog man. And great, and Ross and Annette, yes, I was getting there, thank you. Ross and Annette, last week's story, that's pretty cool. But again, I had inside running on that one. We sat outside their beautiful home, shed, and sat around a fire, and they told a few of their stories. How cool is it about her work with the Aboriginal kids around Creole and all that sort of stuff? Isn't that amazing? Oh, I thought it was amazing. And how would you blokes like to have what Ross gets up to, travelling the bush in those big old trucks, seeing 10-kilometre wide rivers? How big is that? What an amazing country we live in, and these guys have seen way more of it than I've ever dreamed or imagined. But today we're going to do something a little bit different with our super story. We're going outside the four walls. How many of you have met the chaplain from Bedina Primary School? Oh, Steve, you have. You have, Steve. Yeah. Yeah. How have you... You've met her a few times? Very good. And you've just met her before. Did you? Very good. Is she nice? She's lovely? Has she got two little kids? Yes. Yep. You think we should interview her today? You think so? Maybe? Zara, come on up the front, mate. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Zara. She is from Bedina Primary School, and she's a chaplain there. And we're going to have a bit of a chat this morning and let you in on it. So, Zara, you've been on the coast long?
Yes, I've been here about 18 months.
18 months. So where were you from before then?
Toowoomba. I was talking to someone before who said, "Aren't you cold?" And it actually wasn't that cold at my place, but not compared to Toowoomba.
No, so, yeah. No. A lot of really good people come from Toowoomba, you know that?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You may not know this.
An upgrade.
But my wife grew up in Toowoomba.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. She couldn't wait to leave. And whenever I mention going back to Toowoomba for work, no. She wants to stay here on
Celia.
The sunny coast.
Celia, so. Yeah.
Yeah, you got that? All right. Now, when you came down to the coast, did you start straight away as a chaplain?
No. So I started end of last year, term four.
Okay.
Yes, but I've worked as a chaplain previously in Toowoomba.
Oh, okay. So this is not a new gig for you. You've done it before.
Yes.
All right.
But very different community.
Okay.
Yeah.
So every school is a different school, and
absolutely,
every bunch of the community is all very different.
Yeah.
All right. So what about Bedina is different?
It's bigger.
It's bigger?
Yeah.
Okay.
The school I was at in Toowoomba was very Indigenous populated.
Okay.
So about 80%. So I did a lot of work doing really hands-on stuff with kids there, which was awesome. And this school is about 600 kids bigger.
Yep.
So learning a lot more names, a lot more staff even, and sort of figuring out where my skill set fits within what the school needs are.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you've been at Bedina School. What are some of the highlights for you?
It's right near the beach. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's
I
not bad.
I can hear the ocean from outside my office. It's pretty amazing.
Yep. That ocean noise, you get used to it after a while. It just sort of
fades a bit.
Fades away, like the traffic.
I'm still on a high for living here. I think it's incredible. Sorry, what was the question?
The school. Any highlights from the school?
I just like being in this community. I think it's amazing, for one. And they've given me a lot of freedom. Chaplaincy is kind of a bit vague when you first start because there's so many needs and so many, like, each chaplain's different, and you never really know exactly what you're going into. And there was a previous chaplain.
Yes.
Which is different from my role in Toowoomba, where I was the first chaplain. So I sort of invented everything. But here I sort of came into this, that there was a culture of they knew what chaplaincy was about, and there were sort of some loose expectations of what I would do, but then the rest was kind of, they were really good in giving me that freedom of allowing me to do what I was skilled to do, which is good. Did that answer the question? I don't even remember what it was.
No, that sounds good. You're doing well. You're doing well. So
I don't like being in front of people, by the way. Just
yes, I've had the coaxer into it. So yes, but we appreciate it. So the local community you've talked about, the local churches, how are they going getting in behind you in the school? And be honest.
There's been reasonable support.
Yep.
So yourself and some representatives from Kiwanis Uniting are on the local chaplaincy committee.
Yep.
And I'm linked with the chaplain at Kiwanis Waters State College. And so he's been there for way longer than me and has been, I guess, quite instrumental in rallying that support.
Yep.
But so far everyone I've talked to in the church community has been really welcoming, really supportive, and trying to sort of get behind the chaplaincy program to support the kids in this region. So,
So what are some of the exciting programs you do in the school?
I do a cooking program, which is really cool.
I've heard of this.
Have you?
Yes. Oh, you brought scones or something to a meeting that I wasn't at.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm a passionate gardener, love gardening, also pretty passionate about the planet and sustainability and that kind of stuff. And so I grow a lot of my own veggies, and I did a lot of that stuff in Toowoomba. They had a kitchen garden program.
Yep.
And so I would do a lot of growing and cooking with kids and then share. And as a church community, we all know the power of sharing together in food.
Yep.
So that was one thing I wanted to bring with me to this school, was getting into the garden and
cooking.
You know, doing stuff with your hands.
So
is
from
really
the garden
thing.
To the cooking, do you use what you grow in
yes.
the cooking?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So there's not amazing established gardens there, but I've been given a few little gardens, which is getting there. But I've also made some links with Woolworths, and they donate fruit for our brekkie program.
Yep.
And so my big thing is everything that we cook has to use some element of fresh food. So we're not going to make chocolate slice or anything like that unless we do it from the cocoa beans.
Sausage sizzles?
No, so when I made scones, it was pumpkin scones, and I got that pumpkin from my own garden.
Ah, very good.
We've made pizzas, and we've used cherry tomatoes and basil from the garden.
Pizzas, excellent.
Yeah, so and we made recently a zucchini slice, and it's interesting to see the kids...
Zucchini slice?
Zucchini slice, like quiche. Yeah.
Okay.
Someone needs to make this guy a zucchini slice.
So is that like cherry slice? Or, no.
It's not sweet.
Oh, it's not a sweet.
No.
Oh. Okay.
It's like, it's quiche, essentially.
Oh.
Yeah.
So eggs?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm thinking zucchini in a cake.
Although that is a thing also. It is a thing.
Okay. We learn lots here.
As is kidney bean cake. That's not as nice. Beetroot cake, so we made this zucchini cake, and the kids I was working with were like, oh, zucchini's so gross.
I get it.
This is why you don't know what zucchini slice is.
Yes.
Anyway, these kids were really, because they'd made it, they tried it and realised that they loved it. And it was awesome. And we shared together and talked about, you know, what do you do at home? Do you do cooking at home? Can you help your mum? And we always package it up and send it home with the recipe, and then I encourage it to share it with their parents and then help their parents make it again if they want to.
Awesome.
So that's cool. I actually started off sort of accidentally, and it gained momentum, and then they've actually asked me to start a second one. So I do two cooking programs now, which is pretty cool. And I do a garden club as well, because that's just what I like to do.
Yeah.
And they're the programs that I run at the moment. I'm there 2 days a week. So.
Yeah. All right. Now, as a church, how could we get in and support you?
I guess prayer is always a good thing.
Cool. We can do that, can't we? Well, maybe. Yes. Oh, we already do. Oh, good. That's good. Good start. Excellent.
Yeah, and I guess it's always nice to have resources and community support to come back on. I just saw in your newsletter that you do hamper things for people.
Yes.
Yeah, so sometimes there'll be a need that will arise.
Didn't Mark pass on some hampers to you last year?
Oh, probably.
No.
It was all a bit of a blur when I first started.
Yes, it
would have
been.
It was a bit overwhelming.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's nice to sort of know where that support's coming from and be able to bless families with that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Also, always looking for volunteers for our brekkie club, which is once a month on a Thursday morning.
Thursday morning, once a month.
Third Thursday morning. Of the month.
All right. Volunteers, good.
Yeah, and obviously financial support is something that chaplains have to.
So you'd like to go to 3 days?
I have 4 children and a second job. So at the moment I'm happy with 2 days.
Okay. And your second job is?
Disability support.
Wow. Awesome. You got a big heart for the community, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Is that cool? You know Zara a little bit now? All right. Let's pray for her, shall we? Father God, thank you for Zara. Thank you for the work that she does in and through our community in both her jobs. But Lord, we just lift up before her. You, what she does in the school as well. We ask, Lord God, that you would mightily work in and through her, and we thank you for her heart. We pray that you watch over her family, being amongst all that they get up to and what they're doing. Thank you that she could join with us today, in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, Amen. Thank you, Zara. God bless. Now, Zara will be around afterwards. You can have a chat to her.
So, any kids this morning? It's kind of rhetorical because, you know, I've seen some kids here this morning already. I actually brought a couple too. I usually do that. So what we're going to do now is part of our Super Sundays. Kids, you want to join me down the front? We're going to show a whole bunch from the Lego Batman movie. And we're going to stop at different parts and talk a little bit about the Lego Batman movie and how that can inform us with our lives and how that, you know, sort of relates to some of the themes we read in the Bible as well. So has anyone here seen the Lego Batman movie before? We've got one, we've got two, we've got a couple over there. Excellent. Is it very good?
It's great.
It's great? Is it good? You like it? Yeah? What's your favourite part? Oh, no. Don't spoil it for everyone. Okay? So let's watch a bunch of it together, and we'll see how we go. And who remembers how it starts? How's it start?
Black screen.
It starts with a black screen. Let's find out. How's that? In the opening scene, Batman is doing what he does best. The Joker's come up with a nasty plan to destroy the city of Gotham again. And what does Batman do? He saves the day. When the city needs him, he appears in the nick of time, he defuses the bomb and saves the city. But the Joker gets away again. The city loves Batman for this, and this is just a standard day in the life of the Dark Knight. And this is the way that Batman likes it, you know. He sees the problem, he solves the problem. He goes home happy, simple and uncomplicated. Batman doesn't do ships, as in relationships. Batman doesn't need the Joker. He doesn't need anyone. The Joker means nothing to him. No one does. Which is interesting because Donnie was saying just last week that all superheroes need a villain. And the reality is that Batman is clever. He says at the beginning he is very wise. He also has huge pecs and a 9-pack. He has incredible abilities and incredible technology, and he uses all this well to save the day. And all of this works out pretty well for him because he continues to save the day. But as we see as we go through the movie, Batman is in fact wrong. His abilities and his technology only get him so far, and he has a serious problem with pride. Pride, though, just isn't a problem for Batman. This is a problem with being human. This is a problem for all of us. And so many Bible stories talk to this problem of pride. Because we are good at some things, it can lead us to be proud, and so we can go it alone. We don't need anyone, and sometimes we decide that we don't need God. That's the story in the garden with Adam and Eve, when they're choosing to eat the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. They're deciding that they can go it alone. They don't need God. That's the story of the Tower of Babel, with the people using this new technology they've discovered, bricks. And they want to build a way to heaven to make a name for themselves. They don't need God anymore because they're going to build their way to heaven. That's the story of so many people in our world today who have decided that they do not need God. They go about life in their own strength. And sometimes it works out okay for them, just like Batman. But when they hit rock bottom, they've got nowhere to go. The Bible speaks about this in Psalm 14. It says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They never call upon the Lord, but there they are, overwhelmed with dread." Let's not be proud. For God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Let's pick up the story and see what Batman does to celebrate his victory over the Joker. After Batman defeated the Joker, the news reporter remarks, "It must be great to be Batman. I can only imagine he's going home right now to party the night away, surrounded by scores of friends." And Ashley Barty, who is still world number one, even though she didn't do so well at Wimbledon. The reality is, Batman is going home to be alone, to eat his dinner by himself, surrounded not by people, but by his stuff, with only a computer for company, until he accidentally roundhouse kicks Alfred into a grand piano. In the previous scene, Batman had said that he didn't need anyone. And on the surface, you know, it seems spot on. But once we see him at home, we see his need very obviously. Alfred points out that Batman lives on an island figuratively and literally. And even though living that way means for Batman life is simple and uncomplicated, it also means that his life is empty and unfulfilled. And we see this in the way that he talks to a painting of his parents. At the beginning of the Bible, the book of Genesis tells a story of creation. And as the world comes together, chapter 1 declares that God saw it was good. And it says this seven times. Every time something happens, God says that it's good. God's creation was perfect. But something very interesting happens in Genesis chapter 2. After God creates the first human, he declares for the very first time that something is not good. He says, "It is not good for the man to be alone." And God was right. Humans were created for community. And we see that truth played out really well in the Lego Batman movie. It is not good for people to be alone, living on an island figuratively. But if we are to authentically do life with others, it means we need to let others in. And that we need to be real and vulnerable with them. For many people, not just Batman, letting people in can be really scary. What if people reject us? What if people judge us? Can I trust them? I've been hurt before. But it's only when we are truly known that we can be truly loved. Timothy Keller has a great quote, and it goes like this: "To be loved but not known is comforting, but it's superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and fully loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense. It humbles us out of self-righteousness and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us." Quine Life is a place where we can be truly known and fully loved. This is a difficult path. It carries out a measure of risk. But it is an important part of our discipleship journey, one that we all need to be on. We're going to skip a little bit now, fast forward through the movie. What happens next is that the Joker and the bad guys turn themselves in to be arrested and thrown into jail, which drives Batman crazy because now he's got nothing to do. And so it leads Batman to make some really poor decisions. He ends up doing the wrong thing and he ends up in jail. And when the Joker gets out, he leaves all his other buddies in jail, and then Joker goes and recruits its army of supervillains to help him, you know, do what he wants to do. So let's see what happens next. The movie starts with Batman and Robin stuck in a prison cell. So this started quite positively. Batman was taking some big steps in working with others, but the things got a bit scary when he allowed other people in. The fear of the pain of being hurt comes back to Batman. And what does he do? He pushes people away. He's not ready to be part of a family again. So he pushes his family away. He goes back to being alone. Batman works alone. Batman doesn't need anyone. Not even a faithful sidekick. Though we were talking about the other week about every superhero need a sidekick. And this is an important lesson for us too, that there are ups and downs in relationships, in families and in the church. If we put ourselves out there, if we become more authentic, more real, more vulnerable with people, forging deeper relationships, sometimes it'll feel, you know, all too much. Sometimes we might be hurt. Sometimes we might get scared. And so we withdraw again and we can push people away. My encouragement for you today is this. Don't be like Batman. Don't be limited by fear. In Acts 2, we read about the early church, the Christians in the days after Jesus had risen from the dead. And it says there that they devoted themselves to the fellowship with each other. They were all together and had everything in common. These people who had been impacted by Jesus' first hand, that they began to live out his teaching in real, authentic community. And let's not read Acts 2 with rose-coloured glasses, okay? Let's not think everything was perfect and rosy and just wonderful. These first disciples were a ragtag bunch of different people. There would have been awkward moments. There would have been a lot of fundamental differences they had to iron out and work out amongst each other. I'm sure many of them said the wrong things and hurt others or offended someone from time to time. But they persevered in this tight-knit community in a spirit of grace and forgiveness, devoting themselves to fellowship. Because they are bound together by the greatest love of all, the love of God, they are part of the same family and they can overcome all these kind of things. I want to encourage each of us this morning, especially if you've been hurt in the past, to exercise grace and forgiveness and to try again and go deeper in relationship with people in your network of friends and in this church. It's a scary thing to do, but it's what we are to do as Christians. Okay, we're going to go to the end of the movie now and to see how Batman gets reconciled with his family. So here at the end, Batman finally expresses his deepest need to be part of a family again. And something that had pushed him into this realization was the realization that the mission was too big a job for just one person. So he flips around the bat signal. Instead of being all about him, he made it all about others and invited others to help him on his very important mission. He flipped things around and called people to partner with him. Not just those he had worked with before, but he also called those who were his enemies to partner with him. Bane, Poison Ivy, Mr. Freeze, even the Condiment King. They formed Team Gotham Family. And as you might imagine, after a bit of a drawn-out fight scene, which we cut, they win the day. The story of the Bible is one of God flipping things around for each of us. Each of us had done things wrong, which had made us enemies of God. But God called us each back to him, not by using a bat signal with our face on it, but by the death and resurrection of Jesus. He calls and invites us each to be part of his family of love. Saving the world and declaring God's kingdom is too big a job for just one person. It's a mission that he calls on each of us. So this morning I encourage you, if you're not already, to be part of this family of God. God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God wants us all to come to him. He is figuratively shining, not the bat signal, but the you signal, into the sky, asking you to come to him and find life in his name. And once you're part of God's family, you have an amazing opportunity to be truly known and truly loved by his family, the church. And I encourage each of us to think how we can be more authentic, more real, more honest with our relationships here. How can we love each other as God has loved us? And we do all of this because of the very important mission that we have, saving the city. And it's a job that's too big for just one person. It needs all of us. Let's pray. God, we want to thank you for the lessons in your word which permeate through to movies we watch on TV, that the themes that we find in the Bible are not something different from the world we live in, but we see the world we live in obviously is drawn from your word, and we want to thank you for the way that we can see your word through things as weird as a Lego Batman movie, God. Thank you for the lessons from your word that we see reflected in this movie, that we are not meant to be alone. We are meant to be part of a family, and that you are calling us to be part of your family to do your mission, saving the city around us. So I want to pray for each of us, God, that we can join into your family more so than we ever have before, that we can be bound together in love to be truly known and truly know others and truly know others. And God, working together, we can be about the mission of saving this city and people, and see people come to faith in you. And God, I want to pray as we move into morning tea, God, that we might start on that journey, some of us, in getting to know other people better, connecting deeper, letting other people in, and confronting what may be some of our greatest fears. So thank you for this morning, God, and we pray that we can continue to bind together each other in love, because you first loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.